Well, today we continue in our series going through the book of Hebrews. We're beginning to wrap that up. And as I was preparing for this sermon, the Lord brought to my memory a scene from a book written by an author named C.S. Lewis. It's taken from the book Prince Caspian, which is from the Chronicles of Narnia. And it's an interesting scene. And if you're not familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, it is an allegorical representation of the battle between good and evil, of the fall of humanity and the salvation that would come through Christ Jesus. There is a character, a lion, who is named Aslan, and that represents Christ in these Chronicles of Narnia. It's taken really from Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, as Jesus is described as the lion from the tribe of Judah. And so this lion is huge and he is powerful. He is ferocious. And the particular scene that God brought to the forefront of my mind is near the end of Prince Caspian. Prince Caspian was to be the next heir to the throne of the kingdom that's represented in the book. And a man, an evil man, took that kingdom from him and tricked it out of him or from him. And the two armies were in battle. And Prince Caspian's army was much smaller than his nemesis. And as they were nearing defeat, there was a little girl named Lucy. Now, what's interesting about Lucy is she's the youngest of all of them, and you probably think that she's probably the most helpless, but as you'll see in a clip that's about to be played, she's actually quite courageous as this little girl continues to believe that Aslan has not forsaken them. Because they haven't seen Aslan through the entire book or the movie, many of those who were fighting for Prince Caspian and who were on the side of Aslan and trusted in him, they didn't believe. They believed that he abandoned them because they couldn't see him or see him working in their midst. They felt hopeless and they felt that they were about to be defeated. But this little girl never lost hope, Lucy. And so in the midst of the battle, as they are nearing certain defeat, Lucy takes off on a horse with her sister and runs into the forest and begins to look for Aslan. And as she's looking for him, the enemy's army sent a squadron of soldiers after her. And so here's this little girl running from these armed, you know, terrible soldiers that are trying to capture her and take her into captivity. In the midst of that, as she's about to be overrun, as these soldiers have caught up to her and just about to take her over, all of a sudden Aslan appears. And as Aslan appears, she sees his face, and she sees a face that she's not really familiar with. It's the warrior king side of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And she's thrown off of her horse because of the thunderous roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And she looks at him, and as Aslan takes down those enemies and protects her from those who were trying to capture her, she then has a moment where she has to basically push through her fear and understanding that she is to fear this terrible lion. And as she has an interaction with him, and it really clearly displays a healthy balance between those who trust in Christ Jesus as Lord, Savior, Messiah, but also that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
I knew it was you. The whole time, I knew it. But the others didn't believe me.
And why would that stop you from coming to me?
I'm sorry. I was too scared to come alone. Why wouldn't you show yourself? Why couldn't you come roaring in and save us like last time?
Things never happen the same way twice, dear one.
Fair Camellia, with everyone who died, could I have stopped that?
we can never know what would have happened, Lucy. But what will happen is another matter entirely.
And you'll help?
Of course. As will you.
Oh, I wish I was braver.
If you were any braver, you'd be a lioness.
This scene has made me cry and has brought me to tears multiple times. And as we look at our text today, may we understand to a greater degree the kingdom that cannot be shaken, that has been established through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also understand that we serve an awesome and terrible God who is a consuming fire. Join me in turning to Hebrews chapter 12. We're looking at verses 18 through 29, reading in Christ's name. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure under that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteousness of righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks of a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. Much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At this time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, the things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you for this text and this reminder that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but also because of Christ Jesus, you are our Abba Father. Lord, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would be from you and not from me. I pray that it's according to your holy word in the power of your Holy Spirit and not from myself. Jesus, I pray that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, the first thing that we see in our text as we look at verses 18 through 24 is that Jesus is the mediator of a new and better covenant. And so the writer of Hebrews wants to bring us back to that historical account that's recorded in the book of Exodus as the children of Israel were delivered out of their slavery, out of the bondage that they were in the land of Egypt. God led them with his powerful right arm and led them through the Red Sea experience and protected them all the way to the journey that they made to Mount Sinai. As they came to Mount Sinai, this mountain where Moses met God face to face, so to speak, and of course that's metaphorical because it was a burning bush. It was the presence of God and our Savior. As Moses took off his sandals because the ground that he stood on was holy, God asked him to go deliver his people, and Moses became a mediator, a person who brought to God's people God's message, but also he would go to God on behalf of God's people. This was a picture or a type of what Jesus Christ would do and become. As they received the law of Moses, an already redeemed people, as they received the Ten Commandments that reveals God's holiness, and their inability to live according to that holiness and their need for the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, they trembled in fear as God descended on Mount Sinai with trumpet blast and thunder and lightning. The people were so afraid. They said, Moses, we don't want to speak to God directly. You speak to him for us. They truly feared him. But what was interesting is even though they experienced the fear of the Lord, it didn't take them very long before they felt abandoned. Kind of like that movie, Prince Caspian. They started to think that God had abandoned them, and they encouraged Aaron to make a golden calf, a false idol, so that they could worship this golden calf. God's anger did burn, and they experienced again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and that God is a consuming fire. They experienced what the writer of Hebrews says, that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so there's this balance that we, as believers in Christ Jesus, as part of the new covenant that Christ has established, to balance it out, that we should never be afraid to come to Jesus Christ like Lucy in that scene. Now, I don't know about you, but seeing a lion that large, I don't think I'd want to run to that lion. And so there's a decision that we have to make. It really reminded me of a time that I was teaching a Bible study, and I've used this analogy before, but I think it really applies. My youngest son was about 3 years old. His name is Andrew, and I was just entering into seminary, and I was actually teaching a Bible study in the basement of the church that I was serving at the time as media director. And so as Andrew saw me, the door was open. He saw me teaching a story, or teaching this Bible study, but he could only see me through the door. He couldn't see all the people in the room. So as he ran to greet me, and he got into the door, and all of a sudden he saw all the people, and he stopped. And he became afraid because he's a really, really shy little boy. And he had to make a decision. Was he going to fear man at that point, or was he going to run to his dad? Well, I hope that all of us would be like Andrew. Andrew pushed through his fear and he ran and he grabbed my leg and I picked him up and I held him in my arms. And I think that's why that scene of the clip that we previously played means so much to me. Because yes, God is a consuming fire. Yes, he is terrible and awesome. But because of Christ Jesus, we are now children of the Most High God. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is the mediator, the one who goes to God on our behalf, who pays for the totality of our sin, who has offered up the perfect once and for all sacrifice for all of time for all people, but also the one who is at the right hand of God interceding for us, who speaks to us through his holy gospel, who speaks to us even now through the miraculous nature of his holy word. I pray that we would never take that for granted. And may God continue to birth in us a wonderful courage to always run to our Abba Father, but also that the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. The next thing that we see in our text in verses 25 through 27 is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so as the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai, they experienced the power and the awesome nature and the terrible nature of God. They did sin, but God in his grace and mercy gave them an opportunity to repent before they experienced judgment. Again, this is a picture and a portrait of Christ's second coming. Through the proclamation of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and this new and better covenant, God gives every single person an opportunity to repent at the proclamation of salvation through Christ alone. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way to the Father except through him. And so today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as so many people do. Turn to him. Because as it says in our verses here, if they who were warned by Moses did reject God and his salvation, how much more fearful should we be if we reject the salvation of Christ Jesus? Because even though it may seem that Christ is in present, he is with us. Even though it may seem that the evil and the unjust are getting away with murder, so to speak, can I tell you that in the eyes of God, they're not getting away from anything or with anything? There will be a fearful day at Christ's second coming. Well, he will come as that warrior king, the undefeatable warrior king to bring God's justice. But for those who are in Christ Jesus, he will bring those who are his home to live with him in that unshakable kingdom that will last for all eternity. And so today, if you hear his voice, the voice of Jesus calling you to embrace a life of confession and repentance toward a salvation without regret, I pray that you would bow your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords now, before it's too late. The final thing that we see in our text is that Christ offers a precious gift that it would be foolish to refuse. Christ offers the most precious gift that is foolish to refuse. As we look at verses 28 and 29, it says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." That verse should just cause joy, gratitude, and humility in our heart. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And here's that balance, that yes, in Christ Jesus, we can call on the Father as Abba Father, that we are children of the Most High God, but we are to never take for granted the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. That's why embracing a life of confession and repentance toward a salvation without regret is so crucial in our walk with God. We should never think that we have it all figured out, or we should never say inside of our heart or in our mind, yeah, I don't need God, I got this. It's a foolish thing. So many times in my life, I believed this, and I might not have said those exact words, but I think in my heart, I believed it, that I really didn't need God. That, yeah, well, the God stuff, that'll come later in life. And so while I'm young, I'm just gonna be foolish and make a lot of stupid choices, and I did. But the one beautiful thing that I love about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as he paid for the totality of the sin of humanity on the cross of Calvary, as he left the 99 and went after the one, I was that one. I was one who was lost. I was one who has rejected the salvation of Christ Jesus, but he pursued me. And through the discipline of the Lord, because discipline comes through our consequences, right? It's a result of our choices to sin. Discipline is the consequence of our sinful action. We bring it on ourselves, but can I tell you that discipline is love? I so appreciated Pastor Ben's sermon last week as he reminded us to delight in the discipline of the Lord. Never take lightly the discipline of God, because we are his children. He is our Abba Father because of what Christ has done. Don't take that for granted. This precious gift that Jesus offers is the pearl of great price. It is the greatest gift this universe has ever seen. It is salvation in Christ Jesus. Salvation from the consequences of our sinful action, that we are declared innocent. As it reminds us in Colossians chapter 2, that the legal demands of God's law, the Ten Commandments that were given as that tempest and the trumpet blew at Mount Sinai, we are released from the legal demands of the Ten Commandments. It's been nailed to the cross and it's been disarmed, and we are set free. But there's a greater promise. The greater promise that comes through salvation of Christ Jesus comes through nailing those legal demands to the cross, the resurrection of eternal life, and the existence in the unshakable kingdom of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Amen to that. It's a day I look forward to. But as we see a lot of turmoil in our world, we see people lying, people choosing ways of violence, choosing to be cruel, whether it be on social media, whether it be a policeman using unjust force on a person he's arresting, or the violence of taking someone's livelihood and burning their business to the ground. All of those things are sinful in the eyes of God. Not that we shouldn't protest, and not that the protests that we see aren't legitimate or have legitimacy to them. But there's always a way of balance. And we see the extremes going on in the news around us, but I'm telling you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, we need to always understand that what we truly deserve is eternal punishment because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. We have earned the right because of our sin to be eternally separated from God. But God, in his divine grace and mercy, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so there's a balance here, isn't there? Yes, we proclaim the gospel and we fight against social injustices in our society. But we must never allow the turmoil that exists in this world to steal our joy, our peace, and our comfort. Because Christ and those who belong to Christ are part of the unshakable kingdom that our text speaks about. That God will bring his justice for sure, and he will wipe away all the injustices of this earth, and he will wipe away every tear from believers in Christ Jesus' eyes. Death will be no more. At Christ's second coming, we will be given new glorified bodies, and we will exist in the presence of the triune God in a place with no more alienation, no more racial bias, no more socioeconomic bias, a place where you'll never feel lonely again, a place where you'll never get sick or break a bone or experience any type of pandemic or diseases ever, ever again. And I say amen to that. Through this new and better covenant that comes through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we are given a hope that is transcendent to the things of this world. We are given a hope of the unshakable eternal kingdom of Christ. And so today, if you hear his voice, the voice of Jesus calling you, saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy and it's light. Christ will teach us. Allow God, through the salvation of Christ Jesus, to bring you to a place of salvation where you are declared innocent and placed into a right relationship with the Father. Allow the salvation of Christ Jesus to continually mold you and shape you through the power of the Holy Spirit, applying God's word to your life to become the people God desires us to become a part of God's desired solution for the pain, the hatred, and the anger that exists in this world. May we always preach the saving gospel of Christ with and without words to everyone we meet. But also, may the salvation of Christ Jesus give you eternal hope as we look forward to the faithful day where Christ brings those who are his home to live with him for all eternity. May we always look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life to come and the eternal life that is promised through the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our Lord, Savior, and Messiah, Jesus Christ. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you so much for this text and this reminder that we serve an awesome and terrible God, but also a God who has provided salvation because of his love, grace, and mercy. May we never take that for granted. Lord, I thank you for this text and this reminder that there's a healthy balance between understanding that you are our Abba Father, but also that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. May you teach us that in the secret areas of our heart. May we always live for you. May we always look to you as the author and the perfecter of our faith, who willingly went to the cross. Thank you for that great gift. May we never take it for granted. I pray these things in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Please receive the benediction, which is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. It says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. I pray that the Lord would continue to strengthen, encourage, and preserve you until that faithful day he returns.